Hi, thank you for coming. My colleague and boss, Larry Feiner, and I conducted research on ages at reproductive health events in the United States, and we have nothing to disclose. We calculated the median age at 6 life events for women and men as applicable. These 6 events were menarche, first sex, first contraceptive use, first cohabiting union, first marriage, and first birth. Why did we choose these events? Well, they typically mark the beginning and end of different life stages that are associated with varying service needs. So knowledge of the typical ages of these events is valuable because it allows us to see how the timing of events differs by population subgroups, and that can help identify groups who are at greater risk for adverse outcomes, for example, an unintended pregnancy, and those who have a greater need for services. Because these data are updated over time, that enables us to have the latest estimates on unintended pregnancy. Work on this has been presented before, but we now have data from the 2008 to 2010 wave of the NSFG, so we have the very latest estimates on these ages. Having these data over time also allows us to observe changes and trends over time. The data we use come from the National Survey of Family Growth. That's a survey of women ages 15 to 44. It is considered the best source of information about reproductive and fertility-related and behavior. The first 2 waves started in 1973 and 1976. They were restricted to married women. The NSFG later began interviewing men in 2002. So what happened to the single women? The NSFG began interviewing unmarried women in 1982.
They weren't having any sex before that.
No, not at all. Mm-mm, no, 1982 is when it all began. Because we wanted data not just on married women, of course, we used data from the NSFG from 1982 on. So we have 5 rounds, 1982, 88, 95, 2002, and, as I said before, 2006 to 2010. Combining all of the cases from all of these data sets gave us 54,000 women and men ages 15 to 44, obviously more women than men because the men weren't included until those last 2 waves. So to supplement our data on men for 1995, we used the National Survey of Adolescent Males, or NSAM, and that gave us an additional 1,300 men who were all teenagers, 15 to 19. We used event history techniques to calculate median ages at these events. Also known as survival analysis or duration analysis, this technique just analyzes time to events. So in our context, what we're doing, only a single event occurs for each individual because you can only experience a first event once. We use this technique to identify the age at which each person in our data set experienced each event, the age at which half of the group, usually the birth cohort, had experienced the event is the median age. I'll illustrate this shortly when I display the results for first sex, but just to give an example, let's say we're calculating the median age at first marriage among 1,000 women. We would order the women by age at first marriage, and once the 500th woman gets married, that's her age at first marriage is our median age. This technique is really useful because it allows us to identify an average age even with not the whole cohort having experienced the event. That is, we can incorporate the experience of people even if not all of them have experienced the event. And we also calculated not just the median age at the first event, but the median time from first sex to first contraceptive use. So here is the curve for women who had sex by each age. This is restricted to women born 1984 to 1993. So you'll see that it's cumulative, right? Because as each woman has sex, that's a greater percent of that group of cohorts that has had sex for the first time. And you can see here that sex among young adolescents is very, very rare, almost practically zero. And then the curve really picks up around, you know, age 15 and continues, and then by age 25, almost everyone has had sex. So to get the median age, we take the point at which 50% have had sex, right here. That age is 17.8 for this group. And then to look at the trends over time in age at first sex, we do the same thing for every birth cohort that we have available to us through all of these rounds of the NSFG. So here's our 17.8. And we can see that the median age at first sex for women who were born in 1939, turning 15 in 1954, I find it more useful to think about it in terms of when they turn 15, but these are just birth cohorts. So age at sexual initiation declined through when these people were, you know, in their teens in the 1950s to the 1980s, and then the 90s kids started delaying sex, and it has plateaued for the last few years, or for the last few cohorts. So we looked also at very young adolescents, because during the Plan B over-the-counter, there was concern about 10 and 11-year-olds being able to access it over-the-counter. I believe the phrase was next to baseball cards and bubble gums or something really hyperbolic like that. And so we looked at how many 10 and 11-year-olds are actually sexually active and would really be in need of Plan B, and we found that it was not very many at all. So just like we saw in the chart, less than 1% of 10-year-olds have ever had sex, and only about 1% of 11-year-olds. And, you know, that increases, of course, as teenagers get older. Pregnancy rates among adolescents are also similarly very, very low. And these were calculated based on the latest national vital statistics data. So this 90 pregnancies per year among those 11 and younger, this is referring to in the whole country. This isn't the number just in the NSFG sample. This is for all the 11-year-olds, or among all of the 11-year-olds. And it's very, very small. So we did the same thing for median age at menarche based on, you know, some other published research about how that had changed over time. We didn't really find much of a difference. The scale is in, you know, months, and so, you know, it looks like it, you know, age at menarche increased a little bit and then went down, but that's, you know, that's in a matter of months. So we didn't find a very significant change in menarche, even though among subgroups there may be differences. So here is our median age, just like we did for first sex and for menarche, for all of the transitions we looked at. This is just among women. First birth is the first one we'll look at, so that has increased quite a bit over time. Age at first marriage has also increased, but you'll notice that among the later cohorts, age at first marriage is actually older than age at first birth. And this is, you know, the prevalence of non-marital childbearing has been documented for quite a while, and this is just another way of visualizing that. First cohabiting union. Now, one thing about cohabiting union is that, so cohabiting union is the first of either living with a partner or of getting married. Some people don't live with a partner until they are married. And, you know, we can see that in the older cohorts, this was the case. First union coincided with first marriage. And it has since diverged quite a lot. So people either are cohabiting before they get married for the first time, or they're cohabiting instead of getting married. First contraceptive method use. Age at contraceptive method use has gone down, which means that teenagers are using, or younger people, I should say, are using contraception more, or they're initiating contraceptive use earlier. And age at first sex, just like we saw before, this is the same trend line we saw earlier. So age at first sex declined, and then it has, you know, increased a little bit over the past few years. And it has also converged with method use. So the median age at first method use is actually the same as the median age at first sex for this latest cohort. And again, the line for menarche has stayed relatively flat. Here are the medians for men. This doesn't go back as far, of course, because we didn't have data before 1995 for this analysis. And we see the same trend for first sex as we did for women, where the median age declines and then goes back up starting in the early 90s, but we don't see as clear of a trend for cohabiting unions, marriages, or births. This graph shows the time from first sex to first contraceptive use, and it's divided by the age at which women initiated sex. So the percent sign on the vertical axis, that is the percent of women who have used a contraceptive method among women who have ever had sex. The horizontal axis refers to years since first sex that contraceptive use is initiated. So if you look on the yellow line, which is women who had sex for the first time when they were 12 or younger, that zero line, that origin, refers to 12-year-olds who had sex for the first time and used a contraceptive method at or before first sex. So the zero line is the percentage of people who used a method at first sex or possibly before, for example, women who used the pill for non-contraceptive purposes. So as you can see, for, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, contraceptive use is less common at first sex, and it takes them longer to catch up. But among 15 and 16-year-olds, the behavior, it's, you know, there's a little bit of a lag, but it's pretty much, indistinguishable from, or it's very, very similar to 17, 18, and 19-year-olds, or those who initiate sex at 17, 18, and 19. The same time from first sex to first contraceptive use by race and ethnicity. We can see that about 80% of white women use a method at first sex, compared to about, you know, less than 70% of black non-Hispanic women, and followed by other and Hispanic women. This is a summary of women in various reproductive stages at three different points in time. So we're not looking at birth cohorts so much anymore. This is just the distribution by the stages in different years. So the set of three bars all the way to the left summarizes what 15 to 17-year-olds were doing in 1982, in 1995, and in 2006 to 2010. So some of the most notable trends, I think, are first that teenagers now, 15 to 17-year-olds, are more likely to be using contraception, and, you know, they're about as likely to be sexually active as they were in 1982, but far more are contracepting and far fewer are pregnant. And then if we look at 30 to 39-year-olds, though, there's a lot more who are sexually active and not contracepting. So, that's changed a little bit. Also, we can see that because women are delaying births, while pregnant, trying, and postpartum hasn't changed a lot for 25 to 29-year-olds over the years, more women in their 30s are pregnant or trying or postpartum than was the case in 1980. So this is just, we've covered a lot here, and this is just a timeline for the kind of standard median woman, what would her life look like if somebody, followed all of the medians. And these stages are not mutually exclusive. So someone can be, you know, so she's probably, you know, the model women in both of these times is probably, you know, contracepting and cohabiting at the same time. You know, when she, you know, the childbearing phase probably overlaps with marriage, so they're not like discrete categories, but they kind of represent the time spent in different stages. So 30 years ago, sexual activity took place a little bit later. There was about a year in which, you know, there between the onset of sexual initiation and the first method use. I say contracepting with a question mark because that refers to the time at first contraceptive use. We don't really know what happens in the meantime, and obviously there's a lot of variation and things change, so it's, you know, it's not clear. There's very little premarital cohabitation. I think the, you know, we'll look at the medians in a table in a little bit, but there was about, like, you know, less than a month between the median age at first cohabitation and median age at first marriage. And now there's about, you know, almost a decade being spent between sexual initiation and between marriage or childbearing. So there's a lot more time in which a woman may be at risk for an unintended pregnancy. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Okay, so here, I'm just going to show really quick the ages. This is just a comparison with the 1963 birth cohort and the latest cohort for which 50% had experienced the event. Median age at menarche changed very little. Marriage and birth kind of converged, with marriage sometimes taking place later than first birth. Younger sexual initiators and non-white women take longer to initiate contraceptive use, and as we saw before, the large majority of women spend the large majority of their reproductive years sexually active and using contraception. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.